ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby, and joining me tonight, we got Austin.
What's up, guys?
And Mr. Devin.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And Mr. Rob Edquist.
Hey, everybody.
Edquist, is this your first time on this?
Yep.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, get that cherry pop.
Oh. I don't...
I'm well, gonna fuck you. That's happens when you come on here for the first time.
Well,
first came on, I fucked it.
I already got this. Fuck Booster Gold.
All right. Hey, hello. He's a listener. He already knows what's going on. All right, my man. All right. So, Edquist, you posed a this topic based off of a fan chat that was happening on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I liked this topic, so I think we're going to talk about this for as long as we can. So the topic being how changing canon in the various worlds of, you know, genres of movies or stories or whatever affects characters and or their fans, or in some cases like D&D, their player characters, their, you know, the people playing those characters. So between you and Austin, what was the general basis of this chat? Give me and Devin, because I don't think me and Devin were really privy to this chat. Give us the brief rundown. Cliff Notes.
We started talking about Boba Fett and how he had died, and then Kurt said that no, he didn't. He was back in the comics. So then I started saying, oh no, that's not canon anymore, sorry Kurt. And then we had this discussion, and then Austin brought up about the new MMO that's coming out for Knights of the Old Republic and whether or not that was canon. And then we were talking about how Darth Revan was both our favorite Star Wars character, but that they're no longer part of the canon, so they don't really exist, and that sucks.
So
then we were arguing with John and Kurt about it.
So, Austin, I did read something, one of your questions on there about if somebody were to purchase something that you guys had created and then wanted to do. What was that basis of that question?
So, like, essentially, to explain, which I'm sure listeners of Simply Unprofessional have listened to Tavern Talk, usually, and I know we've discussed it before, is the Star Wars canon is essentially everything after 2014 is now the new canon. Anything before, except for the movies and Rebels and Clone Wars TV shows, are no more canon. So the extended universe is gone. But there's a way it can get back in, and that's if it's mentioned in the new canon and explained, then whatever is mentioned is now canon. So the argument we had was whether that MMO that is out but releases new content, even like today, how does that fall in? Because it's new canon that's coming out. It's the Mandalorian Wars, which is a big part of the Star Wars thing. The Old Republic games that we were talking about before is mentioned in Rebels. So that's where that argument stemmed from. And to help try to... John, one of the things he asked was... He wasn't trying to be a dick. He made that clear that he wasn't trying to be a dick. And he said, why does it matter? Like, why can't you just enjoy the content that you have and not worry about whether it falls into the big scheme of things or not. And my my argument to him, or my reasoning to him, was what if somebody bought Distractions Media from us and basically said all the Karnar groups, the Talon group, everything's canon except that. We don't like that. But we might use those characters later, and then they'll become canon again, but we're going to change them from what was originally their story. You know, the original, you know, Colin DM stuff that we started with. So, and that's essentially what they would be doing with Revan if they brought him back, because unless they tell us that the exact same story from the games or from the lore is canon, then they're changing the story that we love. And I'll always picture Revan as how I pictured him, just the same way I'll always picture Talon how I originally played him, and Karnar the same way. And so if they bring him back and something's changed, I'll always notice that difference, and it'll take me out of take me out of my imagination while I'm trying to, you know, enjoy this new content. Now, I'm not saying that I won't enjoy the new content. I'm just saying I'll always have that in the back of my head if that were to happen. If like they change the story of one of my favorite characters and a pivotal character, I think, and like one of the biggest wars of the Star Wars history.
Yeah, and the problem is that they could change the things it is that makes them your favorite. So then it's like,
right. And that's what like the big worry is, and that's how I tried to explain it to John why the old canon matters to us.
See, I tend to side on the issue, though. I tend to side with John, because this is the way I look at it. Like this. Those stories are still going to be there. They're still there for you to enjoy. It may not be any more. Let's flip the same thing. Okay, let's say they take Revan. They bring him into the current the new continuity. They bring him in, and they give him this amazingly awesome story, and you like it more. You know, it's a fantastic story. They, you know, they go above and beyond with it. He kind of you really like it. Well, you also like the other story too. But with the way you're saying it is, you're kind of establishing it up to be a one-way street where the old canon is always going to be better than the new canon, regardless of not, that may or may not be true. So I feel like if you're going to do that, it really needs to be a kind of a two-way street. And you can take what you want to take and, you know, and drop what you want to drop for here and there. And that's just, it's up to you. But I would just say take it all together as an encompassing story. So whether or not, you know, the games are canon, whether or not the books are canon, whether or not all this, the extended universe is canon or not, who cares? You know, it's still there. They're not going to come in and like burn all the copies of the books and they're no longer readable. You know what I mean? Like, they're still there to enjoy. There are stories to enjoy. And if you view it kind of like Marvel and DC Comics, you have the same characters on different Earths and different universes and things like that. Those stories that happen in, you know, Earth 2 aren't the same stories that are going to happen in Earth Prime. You know, they're very different characters. They're the same stories. You may really love Earth 2 Batman, and he may be totally different than Earth Prime Batman. But technically, you know, for what's canon and what's not canon, anything that happens in Earth 2 is not canon in Earth Prime, but anything that happens in Earth Prime is not canon in Earth 2. They're two separate stories that they weave off on their own. And you have those stories to enjoy on both ends. You don't have to accept them. It's not all or nothing. It should be all encompassing.
Right. I agree with that too, about it be everything being all encompassing. But
was that if you're going to change the canon so much that, like you said, it could be a completely awesome story, but it's completely different. Why use that same character then? Why not make it a whole new character, new name, everything, if it's going to be all different anyway? The reason is because you're trying to get the people that liked that character before to get on board with it, but then you're going to change everything, so it doesn't really make sense. It's like, if you're going to change it, change who it is, and if you're going to keep it the same to attract the people that liked that character in the first place, why wouldn't you keep it the same?
I mean, And that's a good point. But I mean, that obviously that falls back to just, you know, Hollywood marketing and things like that. Of course, that's going to happen. But at the same time, there's a lot of stories that need, you know, there's a lot of times that happens and it's just the story just needs updating. It's an outdated story. It's been told, it's updated. So, I mean, it's old, it's out of date. They'll bring it, they'll change it. And a lot, I'm not saying that specific situation, but a lot of times that'll happen. They'll bring it forward and it's now, they'll refresh it. They'll retell that story in a more, less dated, more like shocking and surprising way. Or they're trying to grab your attention. So they'll use it to get a brand new, they'll use it to hopefully, with any hope of what they do and what any hope what should be done with a character like that, is they grab the essence of the character. Because that's what you really fall in love with. The story's great, but you fall in love with the essence of the character. You fall in love with the essence of that character and you streamline the backstory. You streamline the, you know, his views. You make it where it's accessible to new people, so you don't have to know seven books and three games of continuity to understand the character. You get the essence of that character, which is the old fans will love because it feels like the same character, but you get a new story that's more all-encompassing and welcoming to new fans and new things like that. And that way, when you have that, you're able to capitalize on both fronts.
Now, Devin, I see, like, what I think you're kind of describing is more of a reboot, though, than the canon.
To be fair, theoretically speaking, it is a reboot. With your example, if somebody came in and said, okay, all the stories with Talon and Karnar never happened. You know, everything from this point forward never happened, and this is what we're starting now, and these characters are going to come back in. That is essentially, that's a reboot, because if it never happened, we're no longer acknowledging the past. There is a new, so from that point forward, there is a new past that if we choose to talk about, it's going to be different than the past that was already established. So at that point, it is a reboot. You know, that's kind of like what happened with people getting upset going back to like the New 52. They would never call it a reboot. They would never say it, but it's like, how can it not be a reboot? This person's not even the same person anymore. This person's backstory doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. You know, the times don't add up to anything that priorly happened. And then that's why people are getting really upset, because they kept saying, oh, it's not a reboot. It's not a reboot. It's not a reboot. And eventually they had to just come on and say, okay, it's a full on reboot, because at a certain point you can keep saying it's not a reboot, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I just think it's easier in comics because you have millions, literally millions of characters telling all their different stories, like, throughout this whole thing. But Star Wars has always been, like, a concrete timeline. And, like, we always knew that this has happened, the Old Republic happened 1,000 years before, you know, Episode 1. And then we have all, like, there was a deleted scene in one, I think, Rebels, where Revan shows up. And so, like, they're going to seems like they're going to re-canonize Revan, but he'll still be, he was just a hologram. So he'll, like, all his stuff that happened back then is still there.
Maybe.
But maybe not. That's what I'm saying. Like, why, if it doesn't affect any of the current continuity and it was a great story, why change it?
So I'm looking at this from a business point of view as well. You have to look at it from a business point of view. Nah. It's hard if they wanted to make a movie and have Revan be the bad guy, and you're going to have those fans that are going to be like, wow, you know, Revan's awesome because they know all this continuity. But then you're going to have fans who aren't going to be sold on him being the bad guy, knowing what he's gone through, because he's kind of, you know, been this tortured soul, as you know, so to speak. It's kind of hard to have the same impact with that character being,
if you don't have his backstory.
Have it exactly. So they want to create and establish a new backstory that is encompassing for everybody, that now all new fans, old and new, will like. So what happens with that, they need to do is, like I mentioned before, capture the essence of the character. If they capture the essence of the character, the old fans would still like the character. The story will be, you know, changed or, you know, whatever. They may even keep the story. The story could change. The story could be different. The story could be very much the exact same across the board. But they're going to find a way to make that more approachable from fans who don't play video games, approachable for fans who don't want to read the books, approachable for fans who don't want to read the comics. They just want to watch those movies and get something out of it. And it's hard to cram in that much backstory into movies when, unless you're making a trilogy or you're making two or three movies about somebody, just that one person, which then you have to ask the question is, can this person hold a movie with no one knowing his backstory outside of the people who've previously played the game
and like
read the books?
I get that, like, from a business standpoint. I do. Like, you want to cash in on every single thing you can if you want to be a successful business. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. There's just a lot. And, like, there's, like, the Old Republic game that's out now. This is one of the biggest arguments I had, is that the Old Republic game that's out now that is licensed by Lucasfilms that have – they connect to the old games – and they're still coming out with new content, which is supposed to be canon now, you know? But, like, that's what I'm saying. If they're going to connect it back with the MMO and then change it in the show, like, I just think that's where you get into comic continuity. Because if it gets too jumbled up and if you change too much stuff, for me, it's going to turn me off of it. And I don't want that. That's one of the reasons I stopped reading comics, because I was getting four Spider-Man books. They were all taking place at the same time, but he was in four different places.
Right.
And I don't want that to happen with Star Wars.
Now, okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Star Wars happens to be one of those media where they have movies, books, comic books, a TV show. They're across several forms of media. They have video games. What would technically be the order of how they determine what is canon and what's not, as far as the overarching Star Wars story? Like, is it just anything that happens in the movies is canon, or is it what's happening in the books is canon?
So, do you want to... I was just going to say, well, when Disney took over, they basically said only the movies are canon, and then anything from this point on. So all the old books, all the old comics, all the old video games all became non-canon. Which is kind of the other side of the coin for this discussion. It's like, what if your favorite character is constantly and always uncanonized? Like, they never bring them back. Then you never get to get any new stories or anything. They're just gone. Like, they're never going to show up in the movies. They're never going to show up in the new books because they are no longer canon.
I mean, I'm in the same boat as you guys. And I mean, but that's just, unfortunately, because like, my favorite character is Jason Solo. It's no guarantee we're going to get them in, you know, we're going to get him in. We're not going to get Darth Cadus in the new universe. Possibly. Probably not.
I'd say we 100% don't get him.
Yeah, I mean, like unless there's some other stuff going on out there that we don't know about, like, really don't know. I mean, so there's a couple different ends of that spectrum, you know. It's like, you have to really, it's good and bad, but I mean, that's why it's easier if you approach it with the philosophy like me and John share. It's just, okay, yes, there's good, yes, there's bad, but you got to just take it all as an all-encompassing. Hopefully, like I said, they'll find if they, you know, if your character's popular enough, I'm sure they'll bring him over. Like, I'm sure we won't see a Jar Jar again. That's not going to happen. I'm fairly confident.
He's the next Sith Lord.
You know, Devin, you say that, but they actually mention him in one of the newer books.
They mention him. That's fine. They mentioned him. But I mean, we will not see him.
Oh, in a movie?
He will not be seen in a movie. If he's seen again in a comic book, it's going to be getting a lightsaber stabbed through his head or something like that. I'm telling you, it's going to be.
There's a couple other things that are canon too, besides the movies, the Rebels TV show, and the
all the stuff Wars. That happened after they bought. There was a select few things that they cherry picked and said this is going to be canon. That was, you know, that was a select few things that they picked and said this was going to be canon, but they only did that because they weren't going to make any more cartoon shows, and that was already a successful show that was going on. So they were just like, you know what, cool, keep it. You know, that was it. That's why they did that.
To your point about Jar Jar, though, is like, okay, so they're not going to see Jar Jar again, but Jar Jar is part of the Star Wars universe, whereas our characters currently are the ones that we like the best are not, which is also kind of sad.
I mean, yeah, I mean, well, you would imagine, you know, like I said, hopefully, like, which character specifically are you referring to?
Revan.
Yeah, okay. we're both talking about Revan.
Okay, and that's fine. Like, I love Revan. 100%.
Cool. Quick question. Who's that?
He's you kind of create a character in the Star Wars, the Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, it's not games.
Kind of, you do.
Yeah, and but that character ends up, spoilers, guys.
Spoiler for an 8-year-old game.
Yeah, ends up becoming Revan.
Okay.
He was a dark Sith Lord at one point.
I love him.
You would. Yeah. I guarantee you he would be your favorite character, Webby.
Okay.
Yeah, I said that was one of my best, like the most awesome video games reveals that I thought was the best, because you're playing halfway through and you're supposed to be fighting against Darth Revan and Darth Malak, and then halfway through you find out that you are Darth Revan and you're like, oh my god.
But yeah, and another thing with them taking away that me and Equus talked about a little bit too was, this means that there's not going to be a sequel to the KOTOR stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was actually, Equus, I don't know if you know this, there was talks recently about a third Knights of the Old Republic. I don't know if they were rebooting it or what, but.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned, that because your character from the second one was supposed to be going to try and find Revan, and then you find out what happened, whether they stayed with the light or they went to the dark side, but then it's not going to happen, I don't think. So.
Yeah, so just to clear, like, the air, I think if they bring anything back into the canon that they have essentially taken out, which I might have another caveat in a second, but I think it'll be the Old Republic stuff, because that's some of the biggest stuff, like more, at least more popular stuff, in the extended universe. But
I would say you guys are safe. You guys are safe in that regard. And just, you know, quick caveat to what you were saying real quick. You guys are definitely safe in that regard. And the reasoning why is because they have a huge, vast resource to pull from in the Old Republic. So you guys are good. You know, they can pull a lot of stories from that. If they want to go back, like when this series of movies are over, they'll be looking for more movies. And I'm telling you, the Old Republic's probably going to be the next thing that they go to.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next thing. And that's where you're going to get a lot of those characters, a lot of those cool stories. I guarantee you, those characters you want to see, like Revan, he's going to be a prominent character. He's going to be this, you know, or we might even get like a trilogy of kind of.
I hope so.
No, we might need a trilogy of like more akin to 4, 5, and 6, where we have kind of kind of like 1, 2, and 3, not really 4, 5, and 6, where you have like the start of him. So like him becoming a Jedi and he's the main character. Then at the end of it all, you see him become Revan and that kind of thing. You know, we could easily get that. It could easily happen. I mean, you have this huge resource to pull from. In the Old Republic, I would even argue to an extent is more popular than like, you know, episodes 5, 6, and 7.
To some people, yeah, definitely.
I mean, no, I absolutely would say it is. Like, you know, that era, I think, is absolutely is. If you just look at, they just haven't had the screen time in terms of Hollywood screen time to get to that point, really. Mm-hmm. But if you look at just the characters that people pull from and, like, people on our favorite character list and things like that, like, you're going to grab more, I think you're going to get a lot more characters from that time period and a lot more people gravitating towards that time period than they do during the current time period.
Yeah. And that what we're looking at. They can go so far back to not fuck up anything in the current timeline either. And I think that's one of the biggest things. And it's like, I don't know. There was something I read somewhere that said it's when they took everything out, they changed the canon. It was essentially talking about, like, they were more worried about everything that happens after episode 6. So, like, the extended universe books that do talk about Jason Solo Skywalker and stuff like that. Exactly.
That's why they did it. But the reason, if you look at why they did it, because that stuff refers back to different things in the Old Republic time unit at some point. So what happens to that is they had to kind of do a blanket reset. Yeah. And it makes sense. From a business perspective, they did a blanket reset. Yeah. So they had a fresh slate to play with.
And I'm kind of calling it, like, I told them in this in the chat, is Schrodinger Star Wars, because that can't, like, the Old Republic canon, it doesn't mess up anything in the current timeline. And that's one of the reasons that they changed everything. So it's like, it's both canon and not canon, because they essentially reset everything and they haven't mentioned too much yet until it is or isn't. So, I mean, that's how I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, absolutely. If I were to do a top 10 list of my favorite characters, for me, they all come from the expanded universe. I love that whole universe. I love that universe. But, you know, you have this interesting concept of they had to get rid of that because that's not the direction they were going. Because I do love a lot of that stuff. A lot of that stuff got super convoluted and super just kind of stacked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
I get why it's
gone. I get that. And that gives them a blank slate. But in order to have a blank slate in the future, they also have to have a blank slate in the past to explain backstories and explain things that make sense. So that's why they did a blanket reset, but it was like almost like a wink and a nod, you know, at the same time. Like, yep, all this is gone, wink, nod. You're probably going to see that stuff again. It may be retold and respun in a slightly different way, but all those characters you love are probably going to come back.
Yeah.
Can I ask another dumb question?
Absolutely.
Knights of the
Old Republic. There are no dumb questions. Yeah. Only dumb people, maybe.
Well, I'm going to be the dumb guy. Knights of the Old Republic. That takes place before everything, right?
Yeah.
A few thousand years, isn't it?
I think it's only 1,000.
Let me see. KOTOR 1 timeline. Keep doing shit. I'll look it up.
All right. So chances are the majority of everyone in there is dead in this current timeline.
Well,
unless they're like Kermit.
Unless they're able to be frozen in time, and or maybe their race allows them to live extended lives, but
or the force,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if it was just old age rules, yeah, they'd probably all be dead. But
yeah, so like Yoda might have been a newborn around that time because he almost lived to be 1,000. So
there was a I think there's been two other things of Yoda's race before.
I like how no one could ever remember what Yoda's race is.
No, it's not ever. It's not confirmed what it is.
Oh, it's not.
That's why everybody says Yoda's race, because it's not.
Disney, get off your fucking ass and let's confirm what Yoda's race is.
Well, there's talks of a Yoda movie, like a Rogue One type movie, like they're doing with Han Solo.
Mean one where he does all of his nifty shit and then goes to live in a swamp by himself?
No, it's like young Yoda. I think young Yoda. Yeah.
Before episode 1.
Super young Yoda.
He lives in that. He goes to live in the swamp at the end of episode 3. Webby, what are you doing, bud?
Man, whatever. I don't remember. I remember seeing that bad lip reading video of between him and Luke where Yoda sings a song to him. It's really it's really creepy. Okay, so ultimately this whole conversation has been about Star Wars canon, because I'm sure that's the basis of the conversation that you guys had in the fan chat. Let me ask you this. Do you guys have any other how do I want to word this? Any other examples and or times where changing the canon has affected your views on something else in another story?
I'll let everybody else go first, because I'm gonna give some inside info into one of our games.
Okay.
I can just go really, really quickly. Like anime, for instance, I don't like it. I'd rather an anime just take a break than do fillers, because fillers is essentially just adjusting the canon and creating stuff that never happened or if it happened, it was like a one-off mention in the like in the manga that was just like, all right, this happened, and then never touched upon. But usually what happens with that is you'll have, you know, they'll be two or three seasons going really strong, going good, and then you have this season of just shit where like every episode is like, okay, this is a trek. So pulling that into the perspective, I honestly feel like sometimes I wish animes would just take a break, you know, and let the manga catch up, because that's what happens later down the road when you get reboots and things like that, like Full Metal Alchemist, the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, or Hunter x Hunter to the Hunter x Hunter to Hunter x Hunter, which was funny because they didn't actually rename it. It's just Hunter x Hunter, and then Hunter x Hunter, I think 2011. And yeah, and also both great animes. I recommend them. But those particular shows, they went off the rails kind of in their first iteration because they just were completely not caught up. They caught up to the manga, then kind of went on past that point. And I think that's actually going to happen in Game of Thrones recently. That's what I was reading about, was they're going to eventually they're going to catch up to the book, and they're going to have to do something, their own thing. Obviously, I think George is going to have a say in that. They passed the book, but I mean, I think he has a say. But I think at a different point, they're going to have a point where it's going to deviate from the books, obviously.
Oh yeah, has done that too already.
Yeah.
Right, in most cases, especially when there's like a book iteration of a story, and then they convert it into either a movie or a show, there's always those changes that they make. It's
exactly.
I forget the terminology for it's like creative, whatever.
Yeah, creative liberties.
Yeah, liberties. You know,
creative liberties. They take creative liberties with certain things because certain things are readable. They're not Hollywoodable.
Hollywoodable. No, I love that.
Not a word. But you're gonna go with it. Hollywoodable. one of the most infamous ones is if you've read it. At the end of it, there is a underage teenage orgy that happens at the end of it. I mean like preteen, like 11, 12 year old. Not going to appear in any of the movies.
You know, Devin, no. I'm not going to lie. In fifth grade, we used to have essentially it was a time during the day where we had to bring in a book and we were just supposed to read it. Bring in whatever the hell we wanted.
Where you brought in Penthouse?
I brought in It. I didn't realize, because my mom's a huge Stephen King fan, she had like all the books.
I was like,
oh, this is, I don't know, has a clown in it. Cool.
You didn't realize Stephen King's a fucked up individual?
Now hold on. I'll have you know, I made it to page 47 in It, in the book. To this day, I have not made it past page 47 because I look and there's like 1,800 pages or some stupid shit. That book is humongous. Every time I look at what page I'm on versus how much I have left, I shut the book and realize, hey, I can go play a video game.
That book is 1,138 pages.
It's insane. It's
an insane book. I've read it all cover to cover about 7 times. I love that book.
Can I say Stephen King is fucked up?
Yeah, he is.
Put that out there.
I love him, man.
Stephen King, if...
We would not have Maximum Overdrive if it were not for Stephen King.
I freaking love that movie. Oh my god, I get to do an entire podcast about that movie.
Hell yeah, man.
I love the part where fucking demon truck just eats the dude without actually eating the dude. I love it. Almost as much as I love Tremors. Tremors is up there.
To this day, I will say, you know, I've seen lots of different movies and read lots of different books. This day, I don't like horror movies. I just don't. There are certain horror movies where I will sit down and watch, and I just don't think that they're horror.
Human Centipede.
Never seen it.
Don't.
I wouldn't think that it was horror, though.
It's body horror.
In any case, like the newest remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
That was awful.
Okay. I watched it. I laughed. It was funny. Whatever. like, it's just like you go back and you think of movies back that were horror movies back in when you were kids. They're not necessarily scary nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, one Stephen King, a part of a Stephen King movie, it was, I believe, Pet Sematary or Pet Sematary 2, one of them,
mm-hmm.
has affected me to the nth degree. When I was a kid, my parents' bedroom, the way they had their bedroom set up, was exactly like the bedroom of this person's, I guess, grandmother or something. And I remember the scene so vividly. He opened up the door, and his grandmother was just rocking in a rocking chair on the opposite side of the room. And she got up and ran at him, okay? And that freaked me the fuck out. And for the longest time, I could not go into my parents' room. Thinking on it right now, because my parents moved out. I live in the house that I grew up in, okay? My parents moved out. My bedroom is now technically in my parents' bedroom. Like, their old bedroom. And looking into my room, it's set up the exact same fucking way, and I'm probably not going to sleep tonight now.
See, now I just want to buy you a rocking chair.
I have one up in my garage. It's you fucked up.
Put it in your room.
No, I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
Sidebar: A Nightmare on Elm Street. Didn't really think it was a scary movie. Except I had one instance where I watched that movie.
The remake or the original?
The original.
Okay.
One instance I was watching that movie, and was listening to music shortly thereafter, and I didn't realize that Nightmare on My Street was a song. So I'm sitting in my apartment. Like, I'm sitting like alone at the time. It wasn't my apartment. I was like 15, I think. But I'm sitting there alone. No way was home. Was listening to music on the couch, and I was like dozing in and out, right? So I woke up while this song was playing, and I was just like, that. It freaked me the fuck out at that point. I was like up the walls at that point. I was like, okay, nope, not anymore. I'm gonna go lock myself in my room. At that point, I think I made coffee. And just drunk a bunch of coffee. And I was like, not going to bed. Nope. That freaked me the fuck out. That was hilarious. That's become one of my favorite songs now, but that's not the point.
Now, so, Devin, getting back on track.
We're never on track
at
this show.
I don't remember. At this point, I don't even remember if you answered this. Can you think of a time where canon has changed? Other than Star Wars. Like, something that...
Well, like I was talking about anime when they just kind of just add
stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. You did the whole anime thing. And then...
They would just add stuff or just like completely gloss over stuff. But if I had to think of a specific... that's difficult for me. I will think of a very, very like specific non-anime related one, and I'll come back to it in a second. So you can go on.
Edquist, what about you? Non-Star Wars.
Well, I mean, Marvel and DC do it constantly. Like, so much that it's, like, comic a tangled
books,
mess.
Yeah, comic books are notorious for constantly shifting canon.
Comic continuity is, but that's part of it. It's supposed to be this world, this, like, punchy, stupid world.
Right.
No matter how dark it gets, but this won't be the same in 2 weeks.
Part of that also falls on the fact that they have different artists and different writers working on the same comic book in such short amount of times. Yeah. That's what I personally feel. Like, if you had one writer and one, you know, team of artists working on an entire story arc, and then, you know, if that did well, make them do the next one, or ask them to do the next one. I mean, don't make them. It's not a slave business here, but...
Or do make them ransack them to draw Spider-Man comics from now on.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, once you get a new writer and a new artist in there, they tend to change canon. They take their own creative liberties with it. And I think that's really what messes up comic books the most. And I mean, I love the different versions of them, but sometimes there's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what Austin brought up earlier, you know, when you're reading, when you read four different Spider-Man comics, and it's effectively all four different stories taking place at the same fucking time, it's like, okay, well, which one of these is really supposed to be happening right now? I don't, You know, how do I move forward?
Yeah, that's where the money comes back in, because Spider-Man's obviously their top grossing hero, giving four books instead
especially
of every
top grossing heroes in the ground, right? Or coated in adamantium, I should say.
Now let me ask you guys this: speaking of Spider-Man, Spider-Man Homecoming with
Tom Holland
playing Spider-Man. I'm assuming that according to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this moving forward is going to be Spider-Man canon. I'm assuming that they're getting rid of and they're not associating with the other already made Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Wait, hang on. Because there's a Venom movie.
Okay.
And they're talking about, I don't know. This is just something I read on one of those articles. So I don't
Andrew
know
Garfield as Venom.
No. No, but it's supposed to be a Venom origin movie from Spider-Man 3's Venom. Something that I read.
No. Yeah.
Now, see, I would not mind a Venom origin story. I would not mind a Venom story. You know, honestly, what I want to see happen?
Venom versus Carnage?
You remember the old Maximum Carnage?
Yes.
I want that. I want Carnage to come down, cause a whole bunch of hell, because that's honestly what he does. He's a symbiote. He decided to merge with a psychopath, and they're all about just raising hell. And then you have to get all these superheroes to try to help contain it.
But see, that's why it has to be in the canon of Marvel. Like
right.
The Marvel MCU. And, like...
Now, doesn't Marvel / Disney... Don't they own the rights to Venom?
Nope. All Spider-Man properties...
Sony, right? Sony. Yeah. Well, but then you'd figure if Sony, once they see, because I have no doubt in my mind that Spider-Man Homecoming is going to blow the pants off of all the other Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
Once they see how successful that is, I think that they will allow Marvel to impose more of their liberties on Spider-Man products. You know what I mean?
I'm sure they will going forward, but the thing that I read is that the Venom movie is not connected to Tom Holland's Spider-Man, which, if they're going to do that, I'd rather them just not make it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Why have a Venom movie if you're not going to connect it to Spider-Man? Venom has been one of the biggest Spider-Man villains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what, in Spider-Man 3, he made a short pop-up. Like, he wasn't the main villain in that movie.
Nope.
You know?
Same thing was.
I think what the issue is because Sony was like, oh, we're going to make a Venom movie. And Marvel was like, okay, let us help you. And Sony was like, nah. So then Marvel was like, well, then it's not going to be part of our universe because we don't get a say.
Right. I think Sony...
Oh. I got it. I got mine.
I think Sony's going to open their eyes. Much like I really hope... I lost my train of thought on this. Sorry. God damn.
Fox.
Sorry, Webby.
I hope Fox, you know, opens their eyes.
Honestly, I don't even... If the X-Men don't come back to Marvel, I'd be fine with that. I just want them to have Fantastic Four back, because I feel like X-Men is big enough and has enough.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about the X-Men.
Marvel done X. Knowing what Marvel does with their movies and how great their movies have been, I want to see a Marvel done X-Men movie. Just once in my life. I just want to see it one time, and then they can never revisit it again. I don't care.
See me, I would love to see them. I'd like to see Marvel make a Fantastic Four where they don't fuck up. I would like to see Deadpool make cameos in some of the Marvel movies. Like, I truly, deeply, for my love of the villain, I want to see Deadpool in the Infinity Wars movie. Because him and Thanos, have an ongoing rivalry that it's a one-sided white rivalry. Deadpool doesn't care. Thanos fucking hates him. Like, despises Deadpool because of reasons. Okay, I don't want to give it away in case people want to know. But I love that rivalry and just their connection in comic books. And I'd love to see that in Infinity Wars, even if it's just like a glimpse, like a cameo.
Sidebar, I also love the fact that they chose the same person to play Cable and Thanos, because Josh Brolin is playing Cable in Deadpool 2, but he's also playing Thanos.
Man. That sucks.
Who says Cable has to be in the movie?
I mean that's true.
But either it's way, really, though, it's funny. It's like tongue-in-cheek almost. I love it.
Yeah.
They do so much CGI on Thanos, so that, I mean...
It really does. Yeah, it doesn't matter too much.
But they talked about Vin Diesel playing somebody else, too, in the MCU, so I'm cool with it.
But yeah, I think Marvel and Marvel has their shit together as far as giving the fans movies that they can appreciate. And sticking true to enough of the story that the viewers don't pick it apart limb from limb. I don't know. I guess that's where some continuity comes in. And anyway. Devin, what was your specific example? Yeah,
my two specific examples of continuity changes that I hate. Number one has to go to, speaking of Deadpool and fucking The Wolverine. That was a grievous and awful. That version of Deadpool never should have happened. That was terrible. Second one, Sylvester Stallone's version of just slipped my mind. I don't know why I'm picking RoboCop. Judge Dredd. There we go. Those two. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Never needs to happen again. Forget about them.
All right.
My specific example is my favorite book series, The Sword of Truth. It's where I get my Confessor X handle from, because of the confessors in that book. They made a TV show out of it, and I was so excited. The freaking TV show was complete garbage. they changed so much stuff. Like, there was a barrier that was the underworld pulled into the world of the living to separate the different countries to stop a war. And in the book, they had to go into the underworld to, undo it and slowly bring the barriers down. In the TV show, the very first episode, they brought it down with catapults. I'm like, it's not that kind of a wall. It's not really a wall. And then I didn't even finish the first episode. I was like, this is garbage. And then I was like, I'll give it another chance. So I picked it up the last episode before the season finale to see if it got any better. And there are these people called the Mord Sith that can absorb other people's magic, but they can only turn it against them to cause pain. And that's all they can do. They had them able to use the powers that they absorbed. Like, somebody shot fire at one and she shot fire back at the wizard. And then they could just randomly turn into birds. I'm just like, I'm done with this. Goodbye. I was like, no.
Bird people.
Yep. And those are the only two episodes. And I didn't even make it through both episodes. Those are the only things I watched. Never watched it again.
Yeah, I like to think.
You're like, nope, I'm out.
I like to think that there's like a boardroom of like these old gray haired dudes wearing top hats and suits. And then like some nerdy dude comes in and says, oh, here's a cool storyline for a show, and it goes through the rundown, and they're like, yes, indeed, I like it, get out. And then they're like, you heard them, some sort of wall, take it down. What takes down walls? I don't know, catapults. Just do it, make it happen.
What takes down walls? The anti-Trump, let's figure it out.
So, Austin, you said you were going to give a little bit of a insider's look into one of our games with your example?
Yep. So... as everybody know, Colin got busy. He couldn't DM Dungeons and Distractions anymore. Well, the last episode that he DM'd got lost. I don't know what happened to it. His Pamela, as everybody knows, he had problems with Pamela all the time.
goddamn Pamela. And we lost that last recording. So that's when we did the scripted episodes that Edquist was in, where he narrated them for us. And so now that is the canon. So I wonder if the listeners would like to know what happened in the episode. What do you think, Webby? You think they want to know?
Sure, why not? I mean, we already released the scripted episodes.
Yeah. So in the actual game, after Talon dies, all the way up to Talon dies and him getting resurrected, and we go and fight, we go and confront Tiamat, all that happens, and Karnar dies. Well, Talon wishes Karnar back to life right there. He uses his second wish to wish Karnar back to life. I think Farrah ends up seeing that Talon and Karnar now have like a bond where there's like a red line that nobody can see except Farrah for some reason connecting them, and they can't go they can't go 25 feet away from each other, or this line, this string or whatever stops them. Farrah did leave the fight, but she comes back. I don't know if that happened in the scripted episode or not. I don't know. That's just an example of canon changing. Karnar was supposed to be left alive at the end of that. Talon was only supposed to have two wishes, and they were connected through like some bond because both of them made a wish for them to be back to life. I don't know. It's not that big, but it does change. It would have changed everything.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even know about this like line thing.
Yeah, fuck that. We just killed him off.
Interesting. A line, you say?
It's not canon. Wait.
It's gonna be now.
Well, in
oh, in yep, actual canon, how you get Brenner to stay with us.
It's actually a lot. It's actually a thing between players. But yeah, it was described, I think Colin described it as like a lasso around each one of our waists, and we could only go so far away from each other.
And neither of you could see it?
No. You could just feel it.
Interesting.
Hey, but that never happened. Talon never wished Karnar back to life.
That's cool.
And the actual canon.
Neat.
He's taking the idea, not the actual thing.
I did. I hope he uses his not on me.
Just please make it attached to a corpse, so he doesn't drag this corpse around with him everywhere he goes.
No one can see this invisible line. There's just this one corpse being dragged, and it just follows Talon everywhere.
Maybe I'm just kidding.
Like
that.
Weekend at Bernie's.
I was just thinking that, and they're like, he has to like sell it. We get pulled over, and it's like, wait a minute, why do you have a dead body? Oh, you're not dead. And like Weekend at Bernie's, he has to do like a performance role. Like Weekend at Bernie's.
Guys, know what? I'm mm-hmm. just kidding.
That's neat.
Awesome. That's awesome. Neat. You ever heard about taking your foot and stepping in it?
Yeah.
There you go. Foot in mouth. Foot officially in mouth.
Shit.
Let's give our current DM some more good ideas.
Webby.
What's up?
There's that. What? You know what? That's a stupid idea.
I liked it. That sounds like an entertaining idea.
I think if you think about it some more. It's bad. Remember when I said
they could even be considered, you know, the strings of fate.
I think that's actually something it was called, something like that.
Oh, sweet.
That means it's gotta be in the fate game. We can't use it. Sorry, that's John stuff. Leave
nope.
it alone, baby.
Nope.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
I think you should tie Iroh to Lorenzo, because that would be
awesome. Oh, yes, God.
Actually, I'm back in. I'm back in, Webby.
Me too.
Oh, Jesus. That would not end well for one of them.
Yep.
My vote's on Iroh. It would not end well for Iroh.
It wouldn't end well for Lorenzo, because if he kills my boy, he's a dead man.
I don't think you could take Lorenzo.
Okay.
I'm not helping. By the way. I might help Lorenzo.
I like how your teammate, your party member, is like, I'm not helping. I might help him. I'm not going to help you.
Yeah. Oh, jeez Louise.
Trip would probably help Lorenzo, too.
Technically, I'd like to go on paper and say I was loyal to Melissa and Lorenzo before I was loyal to them.
All right.
Well, yeah, true. Fair enough.
So, I mean, you know.
I miss Melissa.
Too bad, y'all.
I will say that an example that I like where changes in canon are fun would be in these types of games, like D&D games and whatnot, where, say you have multiple groups. For instance, the 300 game versus the Distractions game. All takes place in the same world. Hell, closely the same continents. You could even toss in the pack, same world. Will of the Gods, same world. The thing is one thing that I like is the idea that one of these groups could go to a major city, and through one means or another, you could get into a tussle or kill off an NPC for one reason or another. And then if another group heads to that same city, now that NPC's not there. And that NPC may have been a vital part to maybe the mission that one of the other groups was on, or so on and so forth. I like the fact that different groups within the same world can change each other's stories without directly connecting to each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, although I wouldn't really look at that as changing continuity. I would just look at that as having a linear continuity in the sense that what happens, happens. There, you know, just because you needed this NPC and this group got here first and they murdered this NPC, that doesn't necessarily, then your SOL, you know, that's on you. I would love to actually do that. Well, I love when that happens because it kind of keeps you on your toes and it keeps you interesting. Like, I know, you know, not to explore too much. Like, I know that going recently, you know, Austin and Donnie and me and Rob, we're going in a group that we can affect each other's continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be fun. Like, yeah. That's going to be fun and really interesting. And I love groups like that. You know, I love that. To this day, I still would love to play in a group, in like kind of like a dueling group where like you're both on a mission to, air quotes, like save the world through various different means. And it's just like, well, if this group can meet more often than that group, well, they're going to get a little ahead of you and they might have something you guys need. I mean, it would be an interesting concept to pull off. You have to like balance out the groups, like schedules and things like that to see like what's going on. But it'd be really interesting to see like how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. I like how you say, oh, your group, both those groups are out to save the world. Yep. Sure.
I mean,
saving the world. Sure. That's the end goal.
I mean, isn't that what, well, look, I think all of our groups start with the best of intentions. Does it stay that way? Probably not. But we all start with the best of intentions. Right?
No.
Look, we all start with the best of intentions. We do. All these groups set out with the best of intentions, and then they always divulge into something else worse.
This new one didn't really.
Well,
I
know.
Guess. I don't know.
Well, I still want to play an evil campaign. I'm down with that. Let's do that shit. I mean, granted, it wouldn't be much different than our regular campaign. We just won't like tell people we feel bad about what we do. We would just say we just keep our actual feelings and thoughts. Like, yep, fuck those people.
Yeah.
Except the farm boys. Fuck those farm boys.
Yeah, we stay away from them. I don't care what game you play. Have you ever tried to make me fight a farm boy?
Give me a hand grenade.
Jesus.
I gotta think. What's like the modern day equivalent of a farm boy? Like. I really want that to happen to us.
If you're wondering what's going on, Webby makes farm boys like totally OP.
They're not, though.
They're not.
They weren't.
Really not.
Okay.
It was a combination of really bad roles and really amazing roles that eventually screwed us over. That's what it was. It wasn't like Webby, like I could hear this, I could hear his voice, just I could hear him getting defeated in his own success.
Two of them nearly wiped out your entire party. Come
I
on.
Could hear him getting defeated in his own success, which I think is the first time that's ever happened to anybody. Webby got defeated in his own success.
Yeah.
True. I feel bad when things happen and it starts to really tear the party into the dirt.
He was looking for an out. Like, he was like, he's like, I could almost see him looking at the dice like, okay, are these dice loaded? Like, what happened? What is happening right now?
He's like, I'm
looking for an out. Like, what?
without giving away anything for the listeners here, okay, as a DM, you have to let things, certain things happen, okay? And when you have things where, okay, you roll, say, in D&D, you roll a 20, that's a critical success, okay? So you get things like double dice damage in 5th edition. I think it used to just be double damage all around in 4th edition. In 2nd edition, you'd get to roll on a crit table. So if you critically hit something, you got to roll all sorts of different dice to determine where and how effective that crit was. Like, I remember in my buddy Chris's campaign, I was playing a Minotaur, go figure, and he was a fighter, and he had a sub-boss right before a main boss fight. And this sub-boss's only purpose was to slow us down. Well, the guy hit me once, I swung at him, I crit. And then I rolled on the crit table, I critically struck him in the neck and decapitated him in one hit. And Chris was just like, well, okay, you killed that guy, that's neat. And it was like, I'm sorry. Like, I felt bad as a player, like, I just took out your boss in one hit, you know? And the thing is when you critically fail. Different systems have different things, but like 2nd edition D&D, something bad would happen. You could have, you know, a weapon might break. If an ally was standing too close to the enemy you were swinging at, you might actually hit your ally. In another particular game instance, you know, you're just supposed to, the DM is supposed to come up with something bad that happens. Well, Austin, in this one particular scenario, tried to do something really simple, quote-unquote simple, like steal a farm animal, and he botched, or he critically failed. So I was like, okay, what's something really easy that I could just kind of say, you know, whatever, and I was like, oh, there's a farmer, and he saw you, and he caught you, and his two sons are right there, and they're like these overpowered people. Versus a couple farmer, like a farmer and his two sons. And one thing led to another, led to another. And before I know it, I'm staring at my computer screen with my hand over my mouth, really legitimately worried that these guys were going to die to a farmer.
He's like, Clay, the others have been gone an awfully long time.
Yeah, I know. Like, he was looking for it out. He's just like, what can I do to get this moved along? This is ridiculous. And like, and the sad part was, like, we all knew, everyone in that room knew this was dumb. Like, everyone knew that this was dumb. This was like, this is the dumbest thing that's ever happened. And I think after that, I think we actually just quit for the night. I think we're like, the dice hate us. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
We're done. Like, it was over, because it was like, everybody at the table knew that this should not have happened.
And it was all just dice rolls, you know? And, I don't know. I mean, I ask myself, if the dice kept going as poorly as they did, would I actually have killed off, say, Austin's character and Devin's character? Because those were the two that were there. I would have honestly felt bad about it, but yes, I would have.
And I wouldn't have blamed you. It just would have been like, wow. Like, I wouldn't have blamed you. I probably would have petitioned for a bonus on my next character, because the dice were awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, dice rolls, that's the one thing about RPGs that include dice rolls. Sometimes the dice just don't like you, and you have to take the good and the bad, you know? It's unfortunate that that's the case, but sometimes that happens. You know, you can be playing a game for a while, and then, you know, your characters should win this fight fairly easily. And for whatever reason, you know, I think, was that, I think also, I mean, you had that last time we played Distractions, didn't you? Didn't you get like four crit ones in a row or something like that? Or is that, who's that? Is that Chris? Well, somebody.
Chris.
Yeah, he had like four crit ones in a row. Like, which in D&D ain't that bad. Like, that's not going to kill you, because D&D is a pretty lenient game when it comes to survival. In
right.
Most cases.
At least the newer edition, if you critically fail, it's just, that's just the failure.
Yeah, like first and second edition, a critical fail could kill you, or especially four times in a row could kill you, or directly lead to your death. Third edition could, but not likely. Fourth edition, nothing could kill you, because, like, you would have to, like, storyline death in 4th edition, because death is almost impossible in that damn game. 5th edition, you can die, but nothing's going to kill you outright. Right. So you don't have to worry about it too much. You get to some other games, like, for instance, Vamp, or anything with a storyteller system where botches are usually critical, where a literal botch, depending on what you're doing, and usually more difficult something is you're trying to do, so the higher level the spell, the stronger the power, the botch has a significantly worse effect. So I could cast my own spell and botch, and there in parts remove myself from existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. I mean, so you have those roles, which, I mean, we all knew, and Webby kind of like laid down some ground rules on like how he modified the botch system so they wouldn't be as bad as they were, specifically after that fight. He looked and saw, like, okay, we need to switch something up, because you guys are not going to live this fight, these fights, doing this. And I think shortly after that, isn't that when you started implementing the we can drop ones rule?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, we already could drop one, but then you start switching up. Well, if you're particularly skilled at something, you should be able to do it reliably without having to worry about that. And that's when that came in. So, I mean, I guess, in a way, linking this back to the topic on hand, because I'm a goddamn professional.
My man.
Directly in the game, something happened, and Webby changed kind of our life continuity. He changed the original outlook of the story and of how, you know, the game is supposed to be played in the rules of the game based upon what happened in the game.
You guys as players have changed the canon. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You guys now constantly, every time farmers are brought up, you don't want anything to do with it. And that's exactly. That's an ongoing joke as characters, as players, but in the canon, it's like these characters now have a newfound respect for common folk.
For people in the farming trade, we have a newfound respect for agriculture.
Yeah.
So like, we can eat that farmer, we can eat that whore. Eat the whore. Fuck the farmer.
The only other example I could give that sometimes can change canon in add to story, and it's much easier in a gaming thing like D&D because it's not just one person writing a story and then there's the players playing in it. The players also assist in writing the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because depending on whatever you guys do, ultimately will change how the world is shaped. And another thing that changes the canon is, say, in the aspect of player death, or if that player needs to re-roll a new character, introducing that new character ultimately changes canon. Now you're introducing a wild card. You know, there's going to be an addition to a new story, a new background, player interactions with these people. I like that aspect.
Yeah, I never thought about that. The background, like, creating a new background does change canon. It mm-hmm. changes shit that happened in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought about that.
You know, and then if players have interwinding backgrounds, mm-hmm. Like I know, I don't remember if it was ever released, but I know the big arena game, the one of the first games that I played in Distractions.
The game me and you first met in.
Right. Me and Austin. It was really one of my first times really talking to you. And we decided, hey, our two characters in this are going to be brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. We made a pair of Minotaurs and we made them brothers. And we kind of sat down and exchanged notes on like a backstory. And they're actually a part of this world.
That, and we sat there and fought Devin for like 5 rounds.
Yeah,
you did. It yeah. did. And you know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? And by the end of that combat, me and Webby's character are eternally tied together.
Yep.
Because remember, we fell in love with each other.
It's true.
To the point that you revived me.
It's true. You know, it just goes to show people love is real. So it remember is. That $1 million Patreon goal, and me and Devin, we're going to get hitched.
Hey, can you talk about foreshadowing right there?
Yeah.
True.
First time you two guys met, your characters fall in love, and now you guys, in about
look
a year
now.
Or so,
look at us now.
Damn.
You guys are going to be getting married.
Look at us now. Even if we don't get married, Webby, you already stole my heart.
Aww.
You have it.
So
there we go.
If every person who listens to this can donate $1 and get
$6
and get two other people to listen and donate $1 each, and then those two, pyramid scheme wise, just keep branching out, and a dollar is only a dollar. Come on.
Right,
before
guys.
You know it, it's gonna be $1 million. And you're going to have to see me and Devin get married. And Devin's going to have to move to New Hampshire because I refuse to move to Michigan.
And you guys have to kiss.
Whatever.
And fuck. I crack myself up.
You know, fuck. What we do behind closed doors will be no one's business.
No, leave the door open.
Real talk, though. Real talk. Even at $1 million, if we don't get married, I will kiss Webby on camera. Real talk.
I'm very open. I kiss all my friends.
Yeah. I kiss Webby on camera all the time. Let's do it. Whatever.
kiss.
Hey, for all of you guys out there who know me, I'm a very kissable person. I'm just saying. You know I'm just saying. Anyway.
French kiss.
Listen, this just took a weird turn. All right.
It did.
What's going on?
So
if
we're
it bothers you too much, I'll distract him with a sexy horse. So
yes. Look at that horse, Austin. Look
at
that horse.
Can we change the canon of this show that yep. we didn't just talk about?
Oh,
making
you
out
sure can. Okay. You're, well, now we're changing it to you fucking
to
a horse.
Back around, and since Webby was talking about games, RPG games so much, to close that out, last partial segment, and Edquid, you can hop in on this with questions too if you'd like. This is primarily for Austin and Webby because they're the DMs here.
Five.
Has there ever been a situation where the players in your game have changed a cannon on the fly that's thrown you off or genuinely caught you by surprise?
On the fly, I don't know, but I have had players change the cannon of what I had initially had. So, like the Zedon Stones, there's 7 of them, I think, and I had ice and water both as 2 separate stones, and we changed that cannon to make arcane its own stone, and I think ice just controls water too.
Yeah. I can think of one where I actually switched your cannon on the fly.
What's that?
When Declan swallowed the stone, and you had to quickly think of a reason for him to come back to life.
Yes. Yep. That is true.
Don't ever let me make a character and tell me my character can't die due to storyline reasons. Then I'm just going to spend the entire time trying to kill myself for storyline reasons.
And I gave you that scroll, so if one of y'all died, you could resurrect yourself.
And I res myself with it.
That was
me personally as a DM, I try to think of certain scenarios where I might think, okay, the party might get into a scuffle at this point, and I try to think as a player, what are the as many options as I can find so I'm not totally thrown off my game. And I try to find reasonings for each scenario and each outcome. There haven't been any that has completely thrown me off my game. Recently, in the other game that has not been released yet, there have been times where some of the players do something that I didn't account for because they thought outside the box. In which case, normally I would reward them somehow with like either bonus XP or some other form of a reward, because I like it when a player can think outside the box. But as far as changing canon and like off the cuff, I can't think of anything in particular.
Okay.
What about you, Edquist?
Has there been a time where you've changed something you were going to do, effectively changing canon, because of something that happened in a session?
That's also a good question. The way I DM, I like to have a general outline. Like, I go into each session that I DM with a general outline, bullet points of, here are certain things that I would like or I think the group may accomplish in a particular session. But I don't really ever script anything unless it's like, say, a season finale. I'll do a scripted end where it's like a short monologue or something like that, because I like to leave it open for the players. I never know what you guys are going to do. I could say, oh, you guys march into this town and, you know, it's a pretty lively town. What would you like to do? You guys could just fucking murder everyone. I can't stop you from doing that. I could put obstacles in your way, like town guard and so on and so forth, but if you guys are within the roles and you guys really roll well and fuck everything up, I can't legitimately stop you from doing that. That will change canon and that'll throw me off my game, but I tend to think in the moment. So every choice you make, I'm putting myself in my own NPC's mind and trying to act reflexively and reactively towards those choices. If that makes sense.
Yep.
Austin, what about you, to Edquist's question?
Can't really go into it too much because it's not released yet, but there was something. I had planned to have a character knocked out, and he passed all his roles, so I went another route that made sense.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay, apparently I do.
Do I? Oh, wait a minute. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you weren't in the game.
Okay.
But, yeah, I planned to have a character be knocked out. He passed all his roles. Couldn't just knock him out. So, and it still made sense for the story, I think. But, yeah, I was going to have something else happen. And that has, him not being knocked out has completely changed what I'm going to do going forward.
And one more. Is there any time where you've been really torn? I know, Webby, because that episode's come out, I can say it. When Alyssa used the ring to cure Iroh, you said that you were really torn. Like, have there been any other instances like that?
That I come across more often. Real quick, to backtrack to your last question. Hold on. Rephrase your last question again, just so I make sure I get this right.
The one before this one?
Yeah.
Has the players done anything in a session that later made you change canon?
Okay, I can tell you that. As a DM, when I first started DMing for distractions, I requested backgrounds. And Austin would send me all the backgrounds of the ones that he knew of, essentially for notes. Like, he would give me Talon's background and stuff like that. I will say that some of the players' backgrounds, as vague as they may be, have altered like the way I wanted to do things or the way I had things planned, which is fun. I think that's way more fun. I'm huge on people's backgrounds. I think it's a vital part of any type of storytelling game where the more background you give your DM, the more they can incorporate that in the story and make it more personal to you. Now, moving on to your next question, being conflicted about things, that happens a lot more often. Because think of your everyday life. If you're posed with any type of moral dilemma, you're personally going to be conflicted. And with an NPC, at least when I'm DMing things, the main NPCs I have, like you might run into an NPC innkeeper or whatever, where they're pretty black and white. They're an innkeeper. That's their job. That's, you know, there's not a whole bunch. But when you have like a main story NPC recurring character, they have a background. They have a life. They have a moral sense of, like, they have a moral compass, a sense of right and wrong. And I really do try to put myself into their position, and I find myself having their moral dilemmas. So it's not just, oh, the player fucked something up, or the player themselves are fucked up. I have the opportunity to fix them, but would I do this? And, I mean, in certain situations, like you mentioned the Iroh situation where Alyssa used a wish spell, that's something that takes a lot of time to create. And she didn't... She had that with other intentions in mind, but she opted to use it on Iroh because ultimately she felt that Iroh would be better off with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I find that more often than not.
I think I know another time. Can I guess?
Is it released yet?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
When Talon killed the Black Orc?
Yeah, that was that was a moral dilemma that I really put myself in. And then my ultimate decision between that was this orc would honestly kill either one of these two characters. And in all honesty, I thought that the orc was going to kill both. It didn't work out that way, but I left that one up to a dice roll. Generally speaking, if I find that an NPC is conflicted to the point where it's so close to 50-50, I'll leave it up to a dice roll. So, what about you, Austin?
I can't really say I was conflicted because I knew the choice I was going to make when this happened. But in the episode, like one of the first episodes, it's essentially a Will of the Gods episode just before Edquist was there. When Sabrina and Chris, their characters, Grum and Corvana, killed the goblin instead of going in and touching the painting with the rest of the... with the rest of the group.
Yep.
Yeah. I was conflicted there only because, like, I told everybody before that game, make characters that you don't care about losing because they're going to die. And, of course, Chris puts one of his favorite characters that he's made in the game. And so, yeah, I tried to give them a little bit of an out, all of you guys, to save your characters if you wanted to.
You know the funny part about that?
What's that?
You told us to make characters that we wouldn't care if we lost because we were all going to die. This was a one-shot and so on and so forth. And I made Nogard. And the thing is I fell in love with Nogard. And I didn't have a problem with him dying. Like, that's how his character would have reacted to that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's...
Trix, on the other hand... It's a whole separate story, Austin.
I didn't have any moral dilemma with that, because that when everybody knew that they were going to die.
Uh-huh.
If I kept anybody alive, it was a surprise to that person. Being Chris, because he also put another one of his favorite characters in a game that said people were going to die in. But yeah, I mean, all that's right. I mean, I'm sure there's been more. I just can't.
Yeah.
Think of right now. It's not the Haven thing, because that was totally Pez's choice.
Yeah.
The Misha thing, I didn't really. That was just out of nowhere. He wanted Misha to go.
Mostly it has to do with character deaths.
Yeah, Austin's the Grim Reaper of characters.
But I'll let you know before if your character's going to die, usually.
It works both ways, though, because his characters usually die really fast, too. So it works both ways.
I've lost. I mean, I might be second in how many characters I've lost. I don't know.
If you take unscripted deaths out of it, I think you're first.
Yeah.
Well, are there any other questions before we end this episode? Because I know we got a meeting.
No other questions, but Austin, thanks to you, you did help me think of a possible topic for next time.
Hell yeah.
Which I like. So, and I'll tell you when we're done with the show what it could be.
Yep. And for anybody else who has ideas for topics, I'm very open to them. You can send them to simplyunprofessional@gmail.com. That's right. Got my own email. I'm a goddamn unprofessional. Let's see. Edquist, where can people follow you at if they wanted to follow you on Twitter or anywhere else on the internet?
You can follow me at Confessor_X on Twitter, and I'm usually Confessor X on most other things.
Okay. Devin, where can people follow you?
You guys can follow me at darrow3092.
And Mr. Austin?
You guys can follow me at CZF300.
And you guys can follow me at Jax Forestwalker, all one word. Also, check out our website, www.distractionsmedia.com. Thank you. Also, we have a Patreon. I'm real bad, but I'm going to try this, Austin. Patreon.com/distractionsmedia.
That's it.
Yes. I know it's super simple because all it is slash and then us, but I never remember. And one more time, Edquist.
Oh, fuck Booster Gold.
You damn right. So until next time, guys, you heard the man. Fuck Booster Gold.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.